I love this story that I'm sharing with you today. My good friend Andy, he preached this years ago, and when you see someone, it was his first sermon. So he was a bit nervous, and his parents came, you know, and so I remember his movements and his voice, and he's a lot more calm than me. You know, I'm maybe a little spastic, not much, but he was so calm, and he was just telling the story, and it was like, oh. And then he called me out. See, that's what we do it. We used to do it. We called each other out. And so that's what I do now to all of you, don't I, friend? You love it. You're like, leave me alone. Katie Reynolds said, could you leave me out of it? And then, well, no, can't do that. This is interactive. You know that, right? Anytime I ask a question, it's never rhetoric. You can just shout back an answer whenever you feel like, an amen or a hallelujah, right? We can do, there you go. So we're in the book of Acts, and growing up and you're hearing about Jesus all my life, and when you actually sit down and read the Bible, things get a little bit different, you know. And so you read the Gospels and you like to see the stories of Jesus and what he did. We love the birth and we love Easter and we love to hear his miracles. And then we see that he rises and he ascends into heaven, right? 40 days after the resurrection. And now what? Now what do we do, right? And we see in the book of Acts, you have and Luke, they're all in the upper room there. The 11 disciples, well, 10 now, one's missing, and Thomas isn't there. So there's 10 of them there, and they're just staring at each other because they're all afraid. What do we do now? He's gone. What do we do? And Jesus appears to them, and Thomas comes back, and we see later in the book of Acts, they get a 12th disciple because they need one. His name was what? Trivia time. Who's the 12th? The new one. Who remembers? Matthias, remember? They drew lots, didn't they? And they picked one. He had to be there. He was with them. He was one of those. Remember when Jesus sent out 72? There was more than 12 disciples, wasn't there? There was a whole bunch. So go pick a new one. And we picked this guy, Matthias, because he was there. He saw the resurrected Lord. He was there in the ministry. And so the book of Acts starts off in chapter 1 with Jesus saying, I'm going to leave you all, but stay here. Don't leave Jerusalem. Because the Spirit's going to come upon you. You stay and wait. And of course, 10 days later, that's the story of Pentecost, and we'll get to that for sure when we get to paint the church red. Isn't that a fun time? I'm not sure who does the pyramids here, but thank you. But it's exciting when they're red. Everyone gets all happy, but it's only one day a year, right, Bob? You got to come for that day to see the red. Can we do it more often? No. We do it one day a year, right, Nancy? On Pentecost. So in the book of Acts, we see the disciples are on their own. Jesus has imparted some wisdom to them. They watch him fly up into heaven. And what's the first thing? They're sitting there like us looking at the eclipse, right? There he goes. Who comes up and talks to them? An angel says, what are you all doing? You got your mouth open like a bunch of baby birds staring at the sky. Get to work. Get to work. You got work to do. Remember Peter? He was afraid, and he's the one who he betrayed Jesus 3 times, denied knowing who he was. It's getting warm up here. Is the AC on yet? We got a new boiler next door. Excuse me while I slip into something more comfortable, Bob. Sounds creepy when I say that, doesn't it? I just wanted to show you my cool shirt. Men's Warehouse. So in Acts 3, what are the apostles doing? They're going back to church, aren't they? It's only been a couple weeks. They're not afraid anymore because they saw the risen Lord. And he said, you got to go out and proclaim my name. And so they do. And so where are they going here in Acts chapter 3? They're going to the temple. They're going to worship. They're going back. Here you see it, verse 1. One day Peter and John, and they're going up to the temple at the time of prayer, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jewish day was broken into 3 times, that 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and evening. And when was evening? When was sunset? How do we know the day was over? You see 3 stars, right? Then the day is over. 3 stars. Now there was a man who was lame from birth. He was crippled. And he's being carried to the temple gate, which is called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. What a good place to be, right? Sitting right outside a church at the big gate. If you ever seen a map of Jerusalem, there's many gates, and one's called the Golden Gate, and one's called Watergate. Yeah, Nixon didn't like that place, no. Then there's the Gate Beautiful, which leads into the temple, and there's the Sheep Gate and the Fish Gate. right? And there's some more. So because it's a city, it's a fortress, and they would close it. You had to get through the gates. And this gate was called Beautiful. And so this man was brought there every day because people go into church. We're supposed to give to the poor, aren't we? We do that, don't we, here? We share. So he's in the strategic location. It's like the intersection over at Costco. There's always four folks, and you got to give them money. You look in their eyes, don't you? And they need the money. It's not a scam. Look at how they're crippled and they're beaten up, and be generous. He saw Peter, and we don't care what they do with that money, right? Hopefully they'll do something good with it. But it's on them if they don't. But it's for us to help them. When Peter and John, the beggar, saw him, he asked them for money. And Peter was broke, wasn't he? We saw before when they had to pay the temple tax, Jesus didn't have any money. Where did he tell Peter to go find money? Go down, catch a fish, and look inside the fish's mouth. There's going to be some money. And so Peter goes, and he finds the fish, and there's money inside. And that's how he paid it. They didn't have any money. They relied on the kindness of strangers, didn't they? So Peter was broke. But Peter looks at him. He says, look at me. Look at me. You know, the beggar's probably looking at the ground just saying, please. Because there's a shame, isn't there, for begging. And so he asked Peter for money. And said, Peter says, look at me. Look in my eyes. Here's what I have to say. So the man gave him his attention, and he was expecting to get something. Here's some money. But no, Peter says, I don't have money. I don't have silver or gold. I've got nothing. But what I do have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. We see Jesus do this, and I'm going back to Luke chapter 5, and the man on the mat in front of everyone. The man needs to get up. And what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. Now you can walk. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. You always wonder why they say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because as we saw at the trial of Jesus and Barabbas, Barabbas' first name was Jesus, wasn't it? It's a very popular name. Which Jesus are we talking about? There was confusion. Which one? Make no doubt. Jesus, the Messiah, the one from Nazareth. In his name, get up and walk. And they grab him, and he's healed. It all starts to come together. Instantly, the man's feet and his ankles become strong. He jumps to his feet and begins to walk. And the first thing he does is he starts praising God, doesn't he? He knows who healed him. All the people saw him in the temple courts. It's busy. It's just a couple weeks after the Passover. And it's not like us. We take a 1 or 2 days vacation, right, and that's it. But they would take the whole month, right? If you've come all the way from another country to go to the Passover, you're going to stay a while, aren't you? It's nice. It's called a sojourn, right, to stay a while. So there's people from all over. And they recognize him. Everyone starts to praise God because they recognize him. They've seen him every day out here. And now he's walking. They recognize him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple. And they were filled with wonder, and they were filled with amazement at what had happened to him. It says in Isaiah 35, verse 6, that the lame will leap like deer one day. Remember the old days when we used to leap? Now we don't leap. Rolling out of bed is tough, isn't it? But it's fun. I go in my basement and look at the kittens. We got kittens. Anybody want a kitten? But they're jumping on each other. They're happy. They're playing. The mama hates this, but the babies are so gorgeous, and they're just full of energy. Wait till your toddler comes, and we're going to laugh at you. We've done it. We've done it. We're done with that. You're just beginning. But you love it. Mama hope. And Peter saw them, and they were astonished. They came running to him. He's at Solomon's colonnade, and he says, listen, Peter starts to preach. The one who betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus 3 times, the one who couldn't open his mouth when he needed to, but here he is, he's empowered because he's seen the risen Christ, and he knows who he serves. And he says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or our godliness we made this man walk? He doesn't take credit, does he? He didn't make the man walk. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And you handed him over to be killed. And you disowned him before Pilate, even though Pilate wanted to let him go. He's condemning them, isn't he? This is harsh talk. You disown the Holy One and the Righteous One, and you ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes to him that has completely healed him, as you all can now see. That's pretty harsh stuff, isn't it? He's putting them in their place. And what happened last time somebody confronted the leaders and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right? They got the cross. But they're unafraid, and they go right back to church. They go right into the temple. He says, "Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. They didn't know any better, but now they've seen that he's risen. But this is how God fulfilled what was told in all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer." And what does he say then? Verse 19, he says, "Repent and turn back to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you. He sent his son, Jesus." Boy, this is it. This is all the preaching we need. I'm kind of critical of other preachers, and maybe I shouldn't be. But we don't hear a lot about this word. We don't hear a lot about sin. We don't like it. We kind of just say, Jesus said, love one another. Let's just love one another and get along, right? You hear this in a lot of other sermons? I spend too much time on YouTube and Spotify and listen to other preachers. Just love one another and everything will be all right. That's rule number two, Bob. They go do the good part. Rule number one is what? What's rule number one commandment? Love God with all your heart. If you love God, you're going to listen to him, right? You're going to expect your child to obey you, aren't you, Melody? You're going to expect your child to obey you. That's how they'll show their love, right? And you listen to your mother? Right. We always listen to mom. Well, we're not stupid. We listen to our wives. How do we show our obedience, our love, when we follow their rules? You got to be home by 11. Dinner's at 6. Don't be late. You got to follow the rules. You're disrespectful. But we just want to do the lovey love thing. We're loved. But we have to follow him. We have to follow his rules. When we break his rules, what do we need to do? We need to repent. We don't like sin. We don't like to talk about the things we do. It's not a nice word. We don't like to talk about repentance. It's one of the old-fashioned things. Peter's got it figured out. This is the sermon. This is the one. He saw Jesus. He saw him resurrected, and he walked with him. He sat by the seashore at that beach party there in John 21. You love that story? They're out there fishing. They catch nothing all night long. There's somebody on the shore, and he says, "Throw your note, try one more time." And they throw their nets out, and they pull up. How many fish? It tells you. 351 fish they get. So the nets are almost breaking. Jesus over there, he's cooking. He's already got fish, too. And he's cooking for them. And they have breakfast on the beach with Jesus. And so when he is ascended into heaven, there they are. They've seen him. They're witnesses. And this is their sermon. This is their story. We've seen Jesus. We haven't seen him personally, but why do we believe this story? How do we sell it to the world, right? That's a terrible word. I put it in air quotes there. How do we sell this idea to the world, to those who are hurting and broken? And how do we know it? Like your sister, she knew it, didn't she? You told me she was devout and she would listen and study all the time. We should be studying each and every day. What was your homework assignment last week? Oh, I'm calling you all out. What Bible verse did I tell you? Do you remember, Ann? It took me a while to remember, too. Anyone remember? What did I tell you? Do you remember my wife? Were you paying attention? Oh, I'm calling you all out. I'm coming around. Huh? It wasn't Hezekiah. It was Ezekiel 37, remember? Had a Z in it. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. I cheat. I gave you a homework assignment. I always cheat. I always come prepared, all right? Big Zeke 37, dry bones. Did you all read it? No, you didn't. It's okay. It's so beautiful. But this is the sermon. This is the one. This is what we need to preach. Salvation. So he's there and he's telling everyone, listen, you took Jesus and you didn't believe what he said, and you crucified him and you beat him, but he came back. And now we are witnesses of this to tell you this is where salvation comes from. We know what sin is. It's disobeying God, and there's a consequence for sin. But there's repentance, which means that we will change and we won't sin anymore. If we repent, the sins are wiped away, then they're gone. And we have salvation because we believe in Jesus. We will be with them. It's that simple. We're not here to ask for money. We're just here to... A friend of mine said, Sean, no one preaches salvation anymore. This is what else is there to preach? What else is there to talk about here? This is what we come to do. I know my cousin, he lost a battle that he was fighting with his demon. He couldn't beat it. And it finally got him. And it's sad. He's just buried at Sharps. No funeral. We'd have showed up. There had been some Herms and some Mackies there. And he didn't have a church. And it's a bit sad. My funeral is going to be awesome. It's going to be, you're all going to be there. We're going to have choirs. We're going to have stringed instruments. We're going to have a seafood buffet. My wife knows to order that. All right? I thank you all for ham and stuff, but we're having seafood of mine, all right? Don't you kid? Real scallops, not the bay scallops, but sea scallops. We're very particular, aren't we? We like the big ones. We're my scallop people. You like the big ones? The little ones, you can have those. The big fat ones with a little bit of hard muscle on the side. That's how you know it's real. All right. So he's up there and he's preaching and he's saying, listen, people, we saw him. And Moses said one day, he quotes Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. He's going to come from you and you must listen to what he said. And they've been waiting for him. And when he finally came, they didn't recognize him, did they? We all know that. That's easy to believe. We all didn't recognize Jesus until we finally saw him, until we felt him. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold of these days. And you are heirs to the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed, but you Jewish people will be the first to hear it. And you're the first to hear it. Now what do you got to do if you hear it? You got to share it. And what they do? They kept it to themselves. They went in. He said, here's the promised land. Go in there and tell the people about Jesus. And they went in there and they adopted other people's religions. They sacrificed their children to Molech. They worshiped other gods. They worshiped other fertility gods. It was more fun than worshiping God, you all can imagine. And they turned away. And God turned away his blessings and they were scattered and they were exiled. They're getting such a crowd here. You know, if you set yourself on fire, people will come to watch you burn, won't they? And there's Peter in the middle, and there's a crowd gathering, and the police come, right? Anytime there's a crowd, the temple guards come with the Sadducees, those ones who condemn Jesus. And the priest and the captain of the guard here in chapter 4 of Acts. And the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And they were greatly disturbed, the Sadducees were, because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening, so they threw them in jail. It was getting late. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men who grew to believe was about 5,000. That's amazing, isn't it? 5,000 people coming. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law, they met in Jerusalem. Who was there? It says Annas was there, the high priest. Actually, he wasn't the high priest. He was the high priest's father-in-law. Caiaphas was the priest. John and Alexander and others from the family. They had Peter and John brought before them. And they questioned them. And they saw what happened. They saw the man get up and walk. They knew who he was. And there he was healed in their presence. And they said, by what power did you do this? Peter was filled with the Spirit. And he said, rulers and elders of the people. Now he's got to go in front of them and tell the story. This takes bravery, doesn't it, to go up against the establishment? They will crush you. They crushed Jesus, but here he is. He's going to tell them what they need to hear. He's not afraid for his own account. He says, we're being called here today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and we're being asked how he was healed. Know this, you and all the people of Israel. You know how we healed him? In the name of Jesus. That's how we did it. You crucified him, but God raised him. And this man stands before you healed. Jesus said from Psalm 118, the stone you reject has become the cornerstone. In verse 12, salvation is found nowhere else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Put that one on your heart. Carol knew it, right? One name, the name of Jesus. Yesterday, I was walking around my yard, and I was doing a lot of thinking. We decided we would compost wood chips. They don't compost. You know, for the rabbit hutch, they just sit there forever and ever. What are you going to do? So I figure I'll load them up and hide them somewhere, you know, where I can't see them anymore. And that's what I did. So I hid them. No one will ever find them. They're gone. Luckily, we've got a few acres and that mom left us, so we can hide stuff where we don't want it. Like the old barbecue grill, too lazy to recycle it. We just hide it in the woods, you know. Squirrel can make a home. So as I'm working and I'm thinking about, I was thinking about the old churches I used to serve. And that was the most important thing to me in my whole life is, besides my wife and the kittens, is sharing the love, sharing salvation, making sure people know where it's from, how to get it. And you see, it was taken away from me. The Methodist Church said, you can't do this anymore. We don't like you. We're going to shut you up. And this is what I was preaching. Salvation is found in no one else. This is what we were sharing. So to be here with you is so wonderful. And I'm so glad you welcomed me and my wife here. This is what the world needs to hear. This is what your friends need to hear. This is what Keith knows. They beat those demons, don't they? Down there in Charlestown. They whoop them good. They're clean. They're sober. They're winning. Their lives are productive. Because they put their trust in God, don't they, down there? I love them people down there. More people down in the basement on a Tuesday night than up in the loft on Sunday. You know, you all know what I'm talking about. This is a simple sermon, is it? By a simple, uneducated man who didn't go to Wesley Seminary. He sat at the feet of the master. He studied the scriptures. He knew what it said. And when all the prophets and everything said in the Old Testament came together, it came together in the name of Jesus. He says we need to recognize what sin is. We need to repent, people. Ask God to take away our sins. And he will. He'll wipe them away as far as the east is from the west, won't he? And there's only one place to get this salvation. It's in the name of Jesus, isn't it? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your beloved, your believers. They know you. They come to hear the truth. They come to hear the good news about Jesus. And we carry this junk in our souls with us each and every day. And this burdens that we bear and this yoke that we wrap around ourselves that we can't pull. And Jesus says, take mine. It's so much lighter than yours and it's easy and it fits right. He says, take up your cross. Come and follow me. I am the truth. I am life. I am the resurrection. And those who believe in me shall never die but have eternal life. What a gift and what a blessing. We need to share this with a hurting world. Hearts can be changed. Lives can be transformed. Families can mend. And children can grow up in homes where they know love and they know the word of the name of Jesus. And it comes off their lips in an unashamed manner. We are not ashamed of the gospel. It alone is the power of God for the saving of our souls. There is no other name in under heaven than the name of Jesus. I'm a grateful man. The blessings that flow over me and on my family are just too many to count. They all come from you. They come from heaven. We are a grateful people to share and to know your Son and to share with our neighbors, with our family, with the rest of the world. Be bold. Be unafraid. Share the truth with those who need it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit that we pray today. And the people said, Amen. Amen.